The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the fourth chapter. Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterward he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The Gospel of the Lord. Anybody give anything up for Lent? How are you doing now that you've made it through 4 whole days of sacrifice? Many of you have heard me say that I don't have much of a sweet tooth. My real weakness is cheese and bread, or those two wonderful things put together in like fondue or a gooey grilled cheese sandwich. But I did decide I was going to fast from sweets of any sort this year. And of course, that means that since Ash Wednesday, all I can think about is donuts, cake, ice cream, peanut butter cups. Giving up sweets for Lent is a common practice, as is giving up things like soda, fast food, using bad words. You can find lots of other ideas on the internet. Perhaps you might choose to stop speeding for these 40 days. Personally, I vote for stopping speeding for always, but 40 days is a good start. You could fast from social media. Try not complaining at all about anything. Eliminate bad posture from your life. The idea behind giving something up during the season of Lent is a good one. From the earliest days of the Christian church, this time before Easter has been a time of purification and study for baptismal candidates getting ready to be welcomed into the church during the great vigil of Easter. Over the centuries, Lent has become marked by prayer, fasting, almsgiving by baptismal candidates and the rest of us baptized alike. It's an important season for doing the work of reflecting on our identity as sinful creatures who are saved by the suffering, death, and resurrection of Christ and forgiven and freed for life as God's children. But we can miss the point of taking on a Lenten discipline. It's not about not doing something we shouldn't be doing in the first place. It's not supposed to be a punishment. It's not about abstaining from red meat or M&Ms so that we lose a few pounds or lower our cholesterol to get ready for the resurrection. It's not even about trying to withstand temptation like Jesus did. Well, gee, if our Lord can fight the urge to turn a stone into bread as hungry as he was after his 40-day fast, surely I can go without my evening bowl of ice cream. A lot of sermons for the first Sunday in Lent seem to go down this road. The gospel for this day in the church year is always the story of Jesus' temptation, either the one from Matthew, which I just read, or from Mark or Luke. Mark's version, which we heard a couple of years ago, is pretty lean. Just two verses, no detail. Jesus went to the wilderness and was tempted, the end. Luke and Matthew tell stories that are very similar to each other with a lot more detail than Mark's. We get the specifics of what the devil's offers to Jesus are, set within quite a journey. Temptation one happens in the wilderness. Temptation two happens in the holy city of Jerusalem on the pinnacle of the temple where Jesus has been placed by the devil. Temptation three happens up on a very high mountain where the devil and Jesus can see all the kingdoms of the world in an instant. So, preachers this morning will say, the devil tempted Jesus, weak and vulnerable after 40 days without food, 40 days of wandering where the wild things are, all alone, tempted Jesus to use his power to satisfy his hunger, just as we are tempted by our own hunger for things, for money, for luxuries, for security. Then the devil tempted Jesus to test God, just as we test God, demanding that God prove God's self by answering our prayers or fulfilling our bargains. If you cure my sister's cancer, God, I will start being a better Christian. And then finally, the devil tempted Jesus with power, just as we are tempted to lord it over people, to want to be in control, to be at the top of the heap, not the bottom. And so these sermons continue. If Jesus can overcome temptation, the temptations of hunger and proof and power, so can we. In case you can't tell, I'm not much of a fan of this approach to the text, because it takes a very important story about Jesus and makes it about us. You see, we don't get through our Lenten pilgrimage. We don't get to the empty tomb of Easter morning. We don't get to the certain promise that life wins and death doesn't because of anything we will do over the next 40 days or anything we could do over the next 40 or 400 or 4 million years. We get to the empty tomb of Easter because of Jesus. Because Jesus chooses obedience to God above everything else. That is what the story of his temptation in the wilderness is all about. Jesus is led into a place of terrible danger and chaos after his baptism. After a voice from heaven calls him beloved and the Holy Spirit descends on him like a dove, Jesus is led into the wilderness to choose. To choose the easy path or the hard. To choose the path that ends in comfort and fullness and power, or the path that ends in suffering, a cross, and death. It is because Jesus chooses the hard path. It is because Jesus rejects the devil and all his empty promises that we know joy and love, mercy, and hope. The one who refuses at the very beginning of his public ministry to turn a stone to bread to feed his hungry self will soon turn a few loaves of bread into enough to feed crowds of thousands. One who refuses to test God will be tested himself by betrayal, humiliation, injustice, torture. The one who refuses to use power to lord it over others will instead use his power to calm storms, give sight to the blind, make the lame walk, and raise the dead. So this Lent, maybe you can try a different discipline. It's not too late to start. Take a moment or a few every day and give thanks for Jesus. Give thanks for Jesus who turned his life over to God utterly and completely. Give thanks for Jesus who told the devil to go to hell. Give thanks for Jesus who won victory over sin, evil, and death in the wilderness and in a garden tomb on a bright Easter morning. Amen.